Well, good morning once again, everyone. This morning's sermon text is taken in part from Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. It reads, "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." You see, we are in what is known as the Advent season, which is a celebration of our Lord's birth. The word Advent means coming or visit. And before Jesus, Old Testament believers' faith was in the coming Messiah, their deliverer. Anticipation was an important part of the believer's life. So this morning we will be looking at the wise men from the east, called Magi, whose anticipation was really genuine. Genuine compared to many of the Jewish leaders of the time. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" When he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So not much is written about the Magi. How many they were, what country they came from, other than that it was east of Jerusalem. But we can apply a few truths from them to ourselves as we await the return of Jesus our Savior in the second coming. First is, the Magi trusted in the messianic prophecies. The second truth is, the Magi recognized Jesus as the Messiah when God's own people didn't. And third, the Magi worshiped the Messiah with gifts. First, the Magi trusted in the messianic prophecies. First of all, what is a prophecy? You know, the Bible states that a prophecy is a prediction of the future made under divine inspiration, or a revelation of God. Prophecies are intended to encourage people to trust in God. They are also intended to give us hope. Just consider the hope that we have in the verse John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." See, God's word provides hope. It provides trust, and it provides assurance in him that what he says he will do, he will do. The wise men had placed their trust in God's word because of those reasons and because it's unchangeable and it is trustworthy and because God can never contradict himself. Never. Isaiah 48:40, verse 8 reads, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Psalm 89:34 reads, "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips." The word of God is a firm foundation in which we can stand on. See, even though our cultures continue to change, the word of God does not change. So let's put ourselves in the shoes of the wise men and look at some of these messianic prophecies which shed light on the Savior to come and became the reason for the start of their journey to seek the Savior. The first prophecy is taken out of the book of Genesis. It has been spoken about a lot lately in the past couple Bible studies. Genesis 3:15. It reads, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." You see, the context of this verse is a result of Adam's disobedience to follow God, and he gave in to Satan. This became Satan's minor victory in the overall big picture. And as a result of the first man's sin, we are all in bondage to sin. All of God's creation, which was perfect, is now affected. We are all born with this sin nature in us that wants to go against God, turn our back on God. And in this verse, God is talking to Satan. And what he does is he reveals his foreordained plan to defeat Satan and to free us from this bondage of sin. In essence, to escape judgment for forgiveness. To escape judgment for righteousness. How? By offering salvation through his only begotten Son. You see, in that verse, God, he draws a distinction between your seed, referring to Satan's seed, and her seed, referring to Jesus, his humanity, the incarnation of Christ. Seed of man is tainted with a sin nature. So if you notice in the verse does not state that the seed was of Adam. This forms the basis of the virgin birth. That the seed can only be perfect, not tainted in any way. In Galatians 3:16, Jesus is referred to as the seed. See, a lot of times we need to dig deep to discover the meaning of certain verses. But instead of trying to be a Bible scholar going so in-depth about this prophecy, hundreds of years later, God provided a clear sign about the coming Messiah through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14, it reads, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So God reveals a clear sign of the coming Messiah. A sign that only can come from God. It's something that only he can do. That's supernatural. That's beyond our human comprehension. Born to us a child through a virgin, and yet be king. The Messiah, the Savior, who will eventually offer up himself as the atoning sacrifice for all our sins. And give all who believe in him the free gift of salvation. See, the name Emmanuel means God with us. Believer, a truth that you can carry with you through this Advent season is God in us. There are other prophecies that describe the Messiah, establish his dominion. Isaiah 9:6 also says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You see, this prophecy, it describes the Messiah. He is Wonderful, Counselor, meaning he only gives right advice. He only gives right guidance. Mighty God, because he is God. Everlasting Father, because he is timeless. Prince of Peace, because his government is one of justice and peace. Daniel 7:14 expands upon his dominion. It reads, "Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, which will not be destroyed. So the Magi were likely familiar with these prophecies. But sticking to our scripture text, the Magi said they saw the Messiah's star, referring back to another prophecy told by the prophet Balaam, which is located in Numbers 24:17. It reads, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult." The star out of Jacob is often thought to refer to the coming Messiah. The word star was well established in the Eastern culture of the time to mean prince or ruler, one with dignity, glorious power, and majesty. The word scepter here represents a symbol of authority and dominion. So the wise men saw this bright shining star and knew what it represented. So they traveled, and I can only speculate, about 2 years to see the Messiah. But the application I want to pull from this first point is that the messianic prophecies, they came true. They came true. So why wouldn't any other prophecy, why wouldn't any other promise in the Word of God come true? Remember, God cannot lie, and he cannot change. So examine your hearts. Shouldn't we, as believers, have that same anticipation for Jesus' second coming? Our King's return should be treated in the same manner as his first coming, with hope, with anticipation, with expectancy, and with joy. One sad truth about Jesus is that a lot of people, you know, they love the baby in the manger, but they despise the man on the cross. Now, moving on to our second point. The Magi recognized Jesus as the Messiah when God's own people didn't. You see, when the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus had already been born, And by the time they had laid their eyes on Jesus, he was a young child, probably around 2 years old. So the nativity scenes that you see are not biblically correct. He wasn't present when Jesus was born. So the wise men, they inquired about the whereabouts of he who was born King of the Jews. They came into the city looking for the Messiah, and what was astonishing is that no one of any authority seemed to even know. The wise men, they probably thought that the Messiah would be guarded by people of high royalty, protected from any harm, but that wasn't the case. Just as the prophet Isaiah also stated in chapter 53, when Jesus was older, he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. But going back to when he was a baby, shouldn't the priests have even known? Shouldn't they have known? The greatest event in history happened. The Messiah was born, and they didn't even know. They could have known if they had paid attention to those prophecies, or even listened to any of the eyewitnesses who saw the Messiah. You see, in the book of Luke, an angel revealed the good news of great joy to shepherds. Luke 2:11 and 12 read, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." The shepherds, they didn't keep this news to themselves. They confessed Jesus to others. Says it right here in Luke 2:17. "Now when they had seen him, they had made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child." So the priests could have known about Jesus, but because of their pride, they failed to listen or even be instructed by people they may have considered lesser. In our text, King Herod was troubled by the news of the newborn king. He was fearful of losing his position. He was very suspicious of all the people around him. He'd even trust the priest. So after he had received the information from the priest as to where the newborn king would be born according to this messianic prophecy, King Herod, he held a secret meeting with the Magi to find out what they know, and then he sent them to search for the king so that he could worship him as well, which was a lie. He wanted Jesus to be found so that he could be killed. And as we know, God has a way about working out his plans regardless of people's intentions. Amen. But the point of application is, how many people do you know that don't recognize the Messiah? That don't know the real reason for Christmas? Because it definitely isn't Santa Claus, but Jesus is the reason. Amen. I was listening to a famous Christian pastor, John MacArthur, and he clearly stated the juxtaposition between the two. He said that Santa gives you what you want if you're good, but Jesus gives you what you need when you recognize you've been bad. And in Romans 3:23 states, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There is none good, and all need the Savior. Through the wise men, God had brought to everyone's attention the birth of His Son. They followed the light, and they made the light known. Well, through each believer in here, or listening to this sermon via any internet, media, or whatever, God commissions us to make the light known as well. To let people know of the gift of salvation which He freely offers. So please join in this commission of God. Bear witness of that light made possible through His Son Jesus. Eternal life through His Son Jesus. Bear witness of the gospel. Share the gospel with everybody. The third and final point is that the Magi, they worship the Messiah with their gifts. You see, in verse 11 in our reading, which states that when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down to worship him. You see, this was their first gift to the Messiah, a heart of worship. You see, if we give our hearts to the Lord, then shouldn't everything else fall in line? Only if it's according to His will. I read this quote that states that faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay no matter how things turn out. And the real question is, do you give your whole heart to God? You see, if we seek God with a half-hearted heart, then we leave the door open for Satan to do his work. Deuteronomy 4:29 reads, "Seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him, if you seek Him with all your heart and all your soul." The wise men, they gave their precious earthly possessions to the Messiah: gold, frankincense, myrrh. The wise men gave their gift, the gift of worship, to honor God for who He is. Think God wants all the things of value to you that are earthly possessions? He wants things such as your heart, your whole heart. He wants your time, your devotion to serve Him in the church or out on the streets, talking about Him with your family. He wants your hope. God gave Himself freely to us, and we should not hold back giving freely to Him. So follow through each day, worshiping God through obedience, which was the last thing we read about concerning the wise men, being divinely warned in a dream not to return to King Herod, but go back to their country another way. And they did. The wise men, they invested their time and their energy in their hope. These wise men traveled long periods of time to seek the Messiah for who He is. Unlike so many that fail to seek God at all. Today many that do seek God, they do it for the wrong reasons, such as personal gain or for things in this world. Remember, Jesus is the reason for this season. And the gift that He gives is indescribable. It's eternal. And it's free. We don't need to work for it. We don't need to earn it with our behavior or deeds. And salvation is available to all. For whoever calls upon His name of the Lord shall be saved. And remember, believers, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. Like the wise men, we have found the Messiah. Let's continue to adore Him this day and every day through worship. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, thank You. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for sending Your Son, coming down from the heavenly throne, putting on earthly flesh, becoming our example, our hope, our light, becoming that atoning sacrifice for all our sins, our Savior. Thank You, Father, for using this morning's example, the wise men, to look up to as well. That we should be assured of what You say in Your Word will happen. That we should be awaiting, anticipating with joy the second return of Your Son Jesus. Thank You so much, Father, for every blessing that You bestow upon our life. That the reason for this season is because of Your Son. And we are so grateful. We are grateful for the gift that You offer, the gift of salvation that none of us could ever attain. Thank You, Father, for all the blessings You bestow upon us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now at this time, offer one another a sign of peace.